created with free version for non-commercial use.
This is from Psalm 56, the words of David, verses 8 through 13. Thou hast taken account of my wanderings, put my tears in a bottle, and they are not in thy book. Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise. In God have I put my trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? Excuse me, I have a little bit of a cold, so bear with me. Let's just pray again. Heavenly Father, we thank you again that you do forgive us and that we can come to you with our deepest, darkest secrets, and that you are for us and you have said you will forgive. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. The portion that I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians 5 just follows the text that I'm going to use. So this from 2 Corinthians 5, I'm going to read the first 7 verses. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, shall not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed in order that what is mortal may be swallowed up by this life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, be always of good courage, and know that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, I trust that you will speak to us this morning, that you will help us to understand your word, and that you will enlighten our minds to know how to apply it in our life. Again, we are thankful that you are our guide and that the Creator of all has said you will lead and guide us if we but ask. Thank you, in Jesus' name. This morning, we're going to take a look at a portion in 2 Corinthians, something that's familiar to all of you. And as you can see in the bulletin, I gave Joan the title, An Eternal Perspective. That's probably part of it. But it's not only just having an eternal perspective, but it's dealing with the difficulty of having our feet, but having ourselves in two worlds, the world that we live in and the eternal world, the kingdom of God. So I'm going to read just 2 verses from 2 Corinthians 4, chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentarily light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are seen are eternal. Heavenly Father, your word is truth. We pray that you would speak to us through it this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. As you know, I don't like approaching a portion of Scripture without a little bit of background, without setting it in a little bit of context. And I think it's important to realize that this is Paul writing to the church at Corinth. It's important to understand a little bit of the setting that he was writing to. And one of the most fascinating periods in all of history for the church, I think, has been that first 100 years, while many of the disciples were still alive, and they were trying to establish this new movement that was new to everybody. They didn't know how it fit into Judaism. They didn't know how they fit into the pagan cultures of the day. But it would end up permeating all of those. And how do you do that and yet maintain a truthful church? A church that is based on the truth that Jesus talked about when he was here on earth. So, of course, that's the setting. The church in Corinth had a few problems. Corinth, was a very worldly city. To be Corinthian in that day, and even in later days, took on the meaning of being very immoral, very worldly.
Created with free version for
and so that
use.
Was the setting here. Also remember what's going on in Rome. It's been one of the fascinations that I completely missed for many, many years, to realize the political things that were going on in Rome as this new church was starting, because this was part of the Roman Empire. Everything was under Roman rule. And you have some of the Caesars. Of course, we know that Caesar Augustus was at the time of Jesus' death. And then Tiberius Caesar took over. Then there's a guy named Caligula. You've maybe heard of that name. Killed a lot of his family in order to get into power, and was only in power for a few years. And then Claudius, and then Nero. Nero took over Rome just shortly after these verses were written. And if you remember, you've heard of the burning of Rome. Nero started that fire.
Created with
himself.
Free version for non-commercial use.
Just, he was a psychopath, and as he started it, he had to blame somebody for it, so he blamed the Christians. And then he put fierce persecution on the Christians, said that they burned his city, and he virtually burned them. Christians were used for lights into some of the more famous or more beautiful gardens that were a part of Rome at that time. And so serious persecution came on seriously after this, but there was persecution the whole time that this was going on. So Paul writes this, and he is talking about how do we live in two worlds, having a body and a life that is in this world, and yet know that our perspective ought to be one where which we think about our eternal life.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
So I want to look a little bit at what an eternal perspective would look like. Why is it important? Many of you know the name Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot was a missionary. He and his wife Elizabeth went to New Guinea, to an uncharted tribe, never seen any other humans before, never seen white people. They ended up killing Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot is quoted as saying, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot gain to gain what who gives up what he cannot keep, excuse me. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Great perspective. Daniel Webster, who was a statesman, he was a lawyer, he was a congressman, a very famous orator. They held a banquet in his honor, which had a lot of the higher-up people of that day in America were attending. And he was asked, "What is the greatest thought that ever entered your mind?" I'm sure they were thinking there would be some a great philosophical answer. He replied, "The greatest thought is that one day I will have to stand before a holy God and give an account of my life." I don't often think about that. But he knew that was the greatest thought, to think that one day he would have to stand before his Creator and give an account of his life. Martin Luther is quoted as saying, "On my calendar there are but 2 days, today and that day. Everything I do today is in preparation for that day when I stand before God." So either today or eternity will shape the decisions that we make. How do we make decisions living in the world, knowing that our perspective should be for something beyond the world?
Created with free version for
part of what frames those decisions is our perspective, and for each one of us, our perspective is different. We all come at every decision from a little bit different point of view because of our life experience, because of who we are, because of how we're built. I thought of a story I heard of a young gal who came home from school one day, and as she came home from school, she slipped, fell in the mud, dropped her books. Her books got all muddy. She'd had a terrible day in school earlier, so she comes home. She tells her mom everything that's happened, and she says, "Mom, this is the worst day of my life." And a very wise mother said, "May that always be true." From that little girl's perspective, this was the worst thing that could have ever happened to her. From her mother's perspective, she was hoping, "I've seen a little more of the world, and I hope that's true, that this would be the worst day of your life." Two different perspectives.
Our daughter-in-law,
my son and our daughter-in-law just had a baby a couple weeks ago. And a couple days ago, I was over there, and she's just been an excellent baby from what I understand. Sleeps well. But at that day when I was over there, Lindsay was busy doing something else, and she was crying her eyes out. As Lindsay says, she's a great eater, but she is not very patient. And so it was time for her to eat. And I'm sure in that little kid's mind, she had no clue that there would be many other meals to come, and that if she didn't get fed right now, she would get fed eventually. We have that perspective, but little Haley did not have that perspective. So it is, as we live in this world and serve a God who has a completely different perspective of the world than what we do. It's not understanding that they clash. My mom used to have a saying, 100 years from now, nobody will know the difference.
Created with free version for non-commercial
good
use.
Good saying to grow up with. It helped me realize that, you know, in the big picture, this isn't really going to make a whole lot of difference. And it helped me realize that there is a big picture. That's even huge. Some kids grow up never really knowing that there is a bigger picture. How sad that is. But that's very true in our world today. I was reminded of this different perspective idea as well. I've maybe shared this with you before. I was at a rural electric conference, actually, and I'm listening to somebody talk about the global warming issue, the climate change issue. It's been changed now to climate change instead of global warming. It can go either way, and they'll be right. You can tell my slant on it. Sorry. But they were talking about how, even if there are slight changes, how were we going to explain the things that we did wrong to a generation a million years from now that may not be able to live on this earth? And when that was said, I realized that we come at that issue from two different perspectives. I have never in my life thought this earth would still be here a million years from now. I'm not so sure it's going to be here 100 years from now. That perspective gives me a completely different view of that issue. Somebody that does not have that view, that thinks we are in control, and that thinks we are responsible for everything that happens, it's not surprising they have a different view of that subject than what I do. Let me qualify. My position does not mean we are not to be good stewards of what we have, but I firmly believe God's hand is on the wheel. I firmly believe that our job is to be good stewards. From there on, He is in control.
For non-commercial use.
And He will work things as He sees fit, and we can trust in Him. For somebody who does not believe that God's hand is on the wheel, that perspective changes all of the decisions that they make. I think you understand the difference. The world is always trying to marginalize eternity. Say it's not relevant. Say it doesn't exist. You can see it all the time where today, how we live today, who we are today, how we feel today is the end all to everything. Because there is no eternity. Excuse me. You can see it not only in how our government operates, how our communities operate. It's not strange that it's difficult when we have a job, when we have family, when we have relationships that demand immediate attention. We all have things that demand almost all of our time. that pretty much only reflect this earth's priorities. They have nothing to do with eternal things. Whether or not I get the wheat combine this week makes no difference eternally. But it does make a little difference today and in this world. And that takes up almost all of our time. So it's not unusual or surprising that we would struggle with having one foot in each of these worlds. So how do we balance that? Let's look at a portion in James 4. I'm going to just read the fourth verse, James 4:4. He calls, here the word adulteresses is used, and it's used in the context of somebody who is, you know, an adulteress is somebody that's married to someone and is with someone else. So they're using it in the context, we are married to God and to an eternal home, and yet living in the world and loving the world makes us an adulteress. So that's how this word is used. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Being hostile or being an enemy of this world doesn't necessarily mean that we don't like the creation that God made or how wonderful he has provided for us to live and how wonderfully he has blessed us. That's not what he's talking about. He is talking about when our allegiance changes to what is seen instead of to what is unseen. When our allegiance and all that we strive for is something that will eventually pass away, that mold and rust will destroy. That is when we have changed our priorities to where we are focusing more on this world than on another world. So what are we to do? Living in this world, having to work in this world, having to make a living in this world, having to make payments and do all the things that are physically required of this world, and yet not be in love with this world. How do we do that? I certainly don't have a silver bullet that will just set our priorities straight. But I do know that if we don't wrestle with this, the immediate and temporal will win. There's the old story of a guy who was, I think, talking to his priest. And he said, I feel as if I've got two dogs in me. One is always tearing at me to do the right thing. One is tearing at me to do the wrong thing. How do I deal with that? And which dog will eventually win? And the wise priest said, the one you feed the most. The one that you feed the most will win. And I think that's true. It's certainly true in my life. It's so easy to neglect that eternal perspective in my life. Because of all the demands that I have, it's so easy to neglect that. But if we will feed that, and how do we feed that? We feed that through spending time here, being here this morning, taking time to be here, through spending time in God's Word, through listening to uplifting things on the radio and TV. Those things are there. The more time we spend, the more we feed that dog, the healthier that dog will get, and the more starved the other one will get. Truth is sometimes really difficult to come by. Listening to a praise song on the radio one day, and it said, Lord, I want to experience more of you, and that's very typical of a praise song, and they just kept repeating that. And I thought, you know, people are different. That's maybe the way you feel, and that's fine. For me, I long to know what truth is. It's so difficult, and I pray often, Lord, show me truth. Help me to discern between right and wrong. Show me what truth is. Truth, in terms of eternity, is sometimes hard. It's hard to differentiate what is true. How will we? What is eternity? How does that affect our life today? How do we step away from the temporal and realize that it's temporal and focus more on what is eternal? That truth is very difficult sometimes. And that truth is true whether we believe it or not. It's a unique thing about truth. I heard, some of you heard of Ravi Zacharias. He's a Christian apologetics master. He talks about that. There is no such thing as relevant truth. Truth is truth. Take gravity, for instance. You can deny gravity all you want. The truth of gravity will always win because it is a law and it is true. Doesn't matter what we think. That's true of a lot of things that we are faced with every day. There is an absolute truth that is completely removed from whether we want to believe it or
created
not.
With free version for
eternity, of
use.
Course, is one of those truths. Doesn't matter what you believe about it. God's word says that it is forever, had no beginning, has no end. That is what shows me that I have a mortal mind. I have no way, maybe you do, I have no way of comprehending what eternity is. You know the song that says, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. I'm sure I've told this before because it's mind-boggling to me. I don't know how to take 10,000 years from eternity and still have just as many years left. That's impossible for my mind to do. That shows that I was created mortal and can't understand things that are of immortal. So let's look at what Paul says about how to affect
free version for non-commercial use.
Our eternal perspective. In 2 Corinthians, he talks about, I won't read that. Paul talks about set your mind on the unseen things. So how do you set your mind on something? You set your mind on something by consciously making a choice to dwell on it and to meditate on it. Set your mind on unseen things. We have a helper in this area. When Jesus left this earth, he said, I'm going to send you a helper. That helper is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, and you've heard me say this before, don't ever forget it. It's a great picture and a great truth. One of the works of the Holy Spirit is in his ability to change me and to change you.
Created with free version for non-commercial.
He can actually reach into us and form us and make us into something that we are not on our own. I need that. And it is one of the things that we oftentimes omit in our Christian life, is just realizing, Lord, might your Holy Spirit reach into me and shape me and mold me, even sometimes if that's difficult. If you see a shape that I need to be, push me into that shape. Might the hand of your Holy Spirit form me like that. And he will. He has said that he would, and he will. C.S. Lewis said, if you read history, you will find that the Christians who did the most for this present world were precisely those who thought the most of the next. It is since Christians have ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this one. So when we fail to think about the eternal world, we become kind of ineffective in this one for eternity. Very important that we just consciously realize that there are two worlds. My brother-in-law is very good at that. Berna's brother, who's just next older than her and farms, he will often say as we're working, as we're doing something, he will say, maybe the Lord will come back and I won't have to finish it. Usually if it's a difficult job. I've used that with my kids. Not a bad thing for kids to grow up knowing that someday there is going to be a job we're not going to have to finish because the Lord's going to return. And everything here is going to be done. it gives you a little different perspective when you think about that more often. And so again, for our kids, that's great. That's a great thing to have kids grow up with, knowing that someday everything we do here will be gone.
Created with
and it is only those things of eternal value, only those things that lay up treasures in heaven, only those things that bring other people into God's kingdom. They are the only things one day that will last. Very important perspective. I'm going to read a portion from Psalm 73 as I close. There's a lot of portions of scripture I could have used for this, but the writer of Psalms, Asaph, who wrote some of the Psalms, in Psalm 73, it's an interesting kind of story. He talks about in Psalm 73 of the fact that he has seen evil people prosper. He has seen evil people not be punished, and he doesn't understand any of it because it goes contrary to what he knows God's word says. And I don't know if I'm going to read the whole thing.
For non-commercial use. Just
as a beginning, he says, but as for me, my feet came close to stumbling. My steps almost slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant as I saw the prosperity of the wicked. There were no pains in their death, and their body is fat. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like mankind. And he goes on and on to talk about those injustices that he sees. And then in verse 15, he said, if I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I should have betrayed the generation of my children. When I pondered to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight until I came into the sanctuary of God. Then I perceived their end. Surely thou dost set them in slippery places. Thou dost cast them down into destruction. They are destroyed in a moment. They are utterly swept away by sudden terrors.
Created with
like a dream when one awakes.
Use.
O Lord, when aroused, you will despise their form. He goes on to say he realizes that in the end, things will be different from what he sees right now. We've all seen that. We've all seen the wicked prosper. We've all seen those who do not necessarily follow God's laws prosper in this world. What a blink of an eye that's going to look to us someday. I often think about that. What is this world going to look like to me someday? If I can be in eternity for 10,000 years and still have just as much time left, how big a blimp is my life here? Smaller than the shortest twinge of pain you've ever had in your life. It's smaller than that. How many of us won't go through an instant of severe pain
created with
in order to gain whatever,
commercial use.
If it's a shot or if it's something that we're going to gain from, we will go through that instant of severe pain. That instant is longer than what our life here on earth will be in light of eternity. That blows my mind. But it's true. Eternity is that long, that vast, that real. Might we try to understand and comprehend that truth, and then may we try to see how it can make a difference as we live day to day. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you that as an eternal God, you have seen fit to love me and to allow me to spend eternity with you. What a wonderful privilege.
Created
help me
with
to
free
get a
version
slight
for non-commercial use
of how that should make me react to today and to the everyday things that I have to deal with, the things that are pressing, the things that demand my attention. I can't walk away from them. I have to deal with them. But help me understand how they square up in light of eternity. Might you give me that wisdom, and might you give all of us that wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you turn with me to hymn number 625, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.